Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away.
I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful.
I got that feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, today, today.
This is Bible Reading Class with Runner for Christ Ministries, and my name is Nicole Seabrook. Thank you for joining us each week. You are truly a blessing from God. You can help us by letting someone know that this Bible class is here on Blog Talk Radio. Today we're reading through Psalm chapter 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible. And after that, we will answer the review questions. Questions are posted on our website every week. If you'd like to join us today by answering questions, if you'd like to ask a question or simply make a comment, you can press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. You'll be put into the host queue, and your mic will be open. This is a friendly reminder to help us keep background noise at a minimum. If you are not speaking, please keep your phone on mute, and then you can take yourself off mute when you would like to speak. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you and praise you for who you are. We thank you and praise you for the family of God, and we thank you for your word. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to this class. We are here to lift you up, and we ask that you bless this class and that after tonight, we leave knowing you just a little better. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to listen to Psalm chapter 119, and I will meet you on the other side.
Psalm 119. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Do good to your servant, and I will live. I will obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are cursed and who stray from your commands. Remove from me scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servants will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I recounted my ways and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts. Then I will meditate on your wonders. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me through your law. I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, O Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law, and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes, and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness. May your unfailing love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I will answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings, and will not be put to shame. For I delight in your commands because I love them. I lift up my hands to your commands which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. The arrogant mock me without restraint. But I do not turn from your law. I remember your ancient laws, O Lord, and I find comfort in them. Indignation grips me because of the wicked who have forsaken your law. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. In the night, I remember your name, O Lord, and I will keep your law. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts. You are my portion, O Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. At midnight I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. The earth is filled with your love, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. Do good to your servant according to your word, O Lord. Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your commands. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees, though the arrogant have smeared me with lies. I keep your precepts with all my heart. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word. I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous, and in faithfulness you have afflicted me. May your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promise to your servant. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be put to shame for wronging me without cause, but I will meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, those who understand your statutes. May my heart be blameless toward your decrees, that I may not be put to shame. My soul faints with longing for your salvation, for I have put my hope in your word. My eyes fail, looking for your promise. I say, when will you comfort me? Though I am like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your decrees. How long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? The arrogant dig pitfalls for me contrary to your law. All your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for men persecute me without cause. They almost wiped me from the earth. But I have not forsaken your precepts. Preserve my life according to your love, and I will obey the statutes of your mouth. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth, and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I'm yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. I hate double-minded men, but I love your law. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. Sustain me according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Uphold me, and I will be delivered. I will always have regard for your decrees. You reject all who stray from your decrees, for their deceitfulness is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore I love your statutes. My flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your laws. I have done what is righteous and just. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Ensure your servant's well-being. Let not the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail, looking for your salvation, looking for your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your love and teach me your decrees. I am your servant. Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes. It is time for you to act, O Lord. Your law is being broken. Because I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold, and because I consider all your precepts right, I hate every wrong path. Your statutes are wonderful. Therefore, I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from the oppression of men, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. Righteous are you, O Lord, and your laws are right. The statutes you have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy. My zeal wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words. Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. Though I am lowly and despised, I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is everlasting, and your law is true. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight. Your statutes are forever right. Give me understanding, that I may live. I call with all my heart. Answer me, O Lord, and I will obey your decrees. I call out to you, save me, and I will keep your statutes. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. Hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your laws. Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. Yet you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. Long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. Look upon my suffering and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your law. Defend my cause and redeem me. Preserve my life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek out your decrees. Your compassion is great, O Lord. Preserve my life according to your laws. Many are the foes who persecute me, but I have not turned from your statutes. I look on the faithless with loathing, for they do not obey your word. See how I love your precepts. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your love. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. Rulers persecute me without cause, but my heart trembles at your word. I rejoice in your promise, like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous laws. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. I wait for your salvation, O Lord, and I follow your commands. I obey your statutes, for I love them greatly. I obey your precepts and your statutes, for all my ways are known to you. May my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. May my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous. May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let me live that I may praise you, and may your laws sustain me. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands.
All right. All right, good evening. That was Psalm 119. It is not only the longest chapter in Psalms, the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119 is an acrostic psalm. Each of its 22 stanzas or divisions is introduced by a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet and presented in sequence. So that's why you'll see that this week's questions are not numbered. They're actually alphabetized with the Hebrew alphabet. Each letter is indicated at the beginning of the sections. And the entire psalm is an appreciation for celebration of and dependency on the word of God to enable us to properly negotiate the twists and turns of life. So let's get started on our Hebrew alphabet. Who knew that you were carrying around the Hebrew alphabet in the Bible, huh?
Well, I didn't know.
Well, I didn't know either.
All right. So let's get started with Aleph, the blessings of God's word. How does the psalmist intend to thank God for the blessings of his word?
Well,
okay. Go ahead, brother man.
I'll take a stab at it. What was the question? How does the psalmist intend to thank God for the blessing of his word? Yeah. I don't know if I'm right.
From your heart, man. From your heart.
No, I'm looking at it. I started at 6. I know maybe I should have started up at the
top.
Go ahead.
Anyway, wait a minute. Let me get my Bible in my position.
Okay.
I went from 6 to... 6 to 16. I probably went too far, but that's me.
Okay.
Well, each Hebrew alphabet, so Aleph, so each section is broken down into 8 verses. And so one of the things that I learned is that this poem is actually written where it begins, everything begins with, so each sentence begins with A or Aleph. Kind of like you know, that shirt that pastor wears around. It says Bible, but it says basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what kind of poem this is.
Okay.
And so right now we're only looking in the section Aleph, which is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is 1 through 8.
Well, yes, for 6, I said, man, I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. Continue.
Number 7.
Okay. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey
all right.
your decree. Oh, okay, I'm set up.
Nope. Go ahead. No.
I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me.
All right. So how does the psalmist intend to thank God for the blessings of his word? It's in number
okay.
7. I will thank you by living as I should.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good.
All right.
Learn your righteousness.
Very good.
Okay.
Bait. The protection from
okay.
God's word. So this section, bait, is about the protection of God's word. What principle is mentioned that will prevent you from sinning against God?
All right. I do have.
Living according to the word of God.
Okay.
And hiding his word in your heart.
I have 11.
Amen.
So it's the very next one. It's the very next one.
You are correct.
Mm-hmm.
I have hidden
yeah.
his word in my heart that I may not sin against you.
That is correct.
That I might
yes.
not sin.
Okay.
Yes. So the principle that's mentioned here that prevents us from sinning against God is hiding his word in our heart. How do we hide his word in our heart?
Memorize the word.
Yep. You just knowing, right, what we're doing right now, reading his word. If you ain't ever read it, then you can't hide it in your heart. Very good.
But if you memorize what he said, you remember what he said. Well,
yes.
I'm learning to adhere to what he says, you
yep.
know. So, yeah.
And the Holy Spirit
is doing it.
Brings it back to your remembrance.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but it's difficult to make a withdrawal if you haven't made a deposit, right?
That's
so
true.
We thank God that... Not only do we get to make a deposit, God himself has given us a deposit, and that is the Holy Spirit. All right. Moving on to the third letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which is Gimel. This section is about the comfort of God's word. And the question is, in the midst of a difficult situation, where does he seek wise counsel or advice?
Do you want the whole thing read? Or?
If you want to read the whole thing, go right ahead. This is Bible reading class.
Yeah, let's say verses 17 through 24. So it says, be good to your servant, that I may live and obey your word. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. I am only a foreigner in the land. Don't hide your commands from me. I am always overwhelmed with a desire for your regulations. You rebuke the arrogant. Those who wander from your commands are cursed. Don't let them scorn and insult me, for I have obeyed your laws. Even princes sit and speak against me, but I will meditate on your decree. Your laws please me. Wait a minute. Yeah, your laws please me. They give me wise advice. So
thank you.
Amen.
So
I got that, Miss Kathy. I got
mm-hmm.
that one.
Yes, thank you, Kathy. So in the midst of a difficult situation,
mm-hmm.
the psalmist is seeking wise counsel in God's law, in his word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Very good.
Wise counsel. Yeah. So 24, the laws, please, they give me wise advice.
Yep. Very good. Yeah, so if you want to read the whole section, that's perfectly fine. That's what we're here for. So I really did like that. Thank you, Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
And the next alphabet in Hebrew is Dalet. This section of the poem speaks to the strength of God's word. Who is he asking God for the strength to not deceive?
I would like to take that question. It would be 26 to 32. May I say, as it reads, make sure it reads, I told you my plans and you answered. Now teach me your decrees. Help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. I weep in sorrow, and encourage me by your word. Keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. I have chosen to be fruitful. Okay. Excuse me. I have determined to live by your regulations. I decline, cling to your laws. Lord, don't let me be put to shame. I will pursue your commands, for you expand my understandings. Amen.
Amen. So back to the question, who is he asking God for the strength to not deceive? And that is in 29.
Okay.
Lying to myself.
Keep me from lying to myself. We've all been there, right? We're there all the time.
Yes.
Excuse me. Do we all do this?
Yes.
We all do. If we're being honest. But.
All right.
As we can see.
Good little laugh.
You know, his word can even give us strength to stop lying to ourselves. Because, you know, typically, well, not typically, but when we come to God in prayer and we repent, in essence, what we're doing is agreeing with God on the matter.
Right.
All right. So, hey.
All right.
This section is about the commitment to God's word. What does the psalmist ask God to give him so that he can be committed to obeying God's instructions?
Verse 34.
All right.
Give me understanding and I will obey your instructions. I will put them into practice with all my heart.
Yes.
All right. Good evening,
right.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes.
What's going on?
Right.
Thank you.
All right.
So this right here, when I was reading this, it brought to my memory Proverbs 4:7, which is, in all you're getting, get an understanding. All right. Thank you, Mackie. And we are moving on to Bob. It's spelled W-A-W, but it's pronounced Bob.
Because
and
we
this
love
section
it.
Of the poem, this section of the poem is about the instructions of God's word. What does the psalmist find in the regulations of God's word?
And that's 41 through 48, and it says,
beautiful.
Lord, give me your unfailing love, the salvation that you promised me. Then I can answer those who taunt me, for I trust in your word. Do not snatch your word of truth from me, for your regulations are my only hope. I will keep on obeying your instructions forever and ever. I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. I will speak to kings about your laws, and I will not be ashamed. How I delight in your commands. How I love them. I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees.
Amen.
So the psalmist, he finds hope of being delivered from those who taunt him. He says, then I can answer those who taunt me. I will speak to the kings about your laws and not be ashamed. So we can find instruction in God's word. We got everything we need. We talk about it all the time. It's right here. All right. Moving on to the next alphabet. In Hebrew, it is Zion. This section of our poem talks about the hope from God's word. What does knowing God's promises do for the psalmist and also for us?
In verse 50, it reads, my comfort and my suffering is this, your promise preserves my life. Well, I'm going to keep going. The arrogant mock me unmercifully, but I do not turn from your law. I remember, Lord, your ancient laws, and I find comfort in them. So to me, it pretty much gives comfort and preserves the life. I mean, we could keep going. Indignation grips me because of the wicked who have forsaken your law. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. In the night, Lord, I remember your name, that I may keep your law. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Is that Naomi? Yeah.
Yes, it is. Hello.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Yes, you are correct. You were spot on. It revives me. It gives me comfort in all my troubles. Who hasn't been there? Right. All right, moving on to the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It is Het. And this section of the poem speaks to the obedience to God's word. When evil people tried to drag the psalmist into sin, what was he firmly anchored to? Who did he befriend instead?
Number
60. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, 57 through 64, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Who was that? Go ahead.
No.
Okay. It says, help. Lord, you are mine. I promise to obey your word. With all my heart, I want your blessing. Be merciful as you promised. I pondered the direction of my life, and I turned to follow your law. I will hurry without delay to obey your commands. Evil people try to drag me into sin, but I am firmly anchored to your instructions. I rise at midnight to thank you for your just regulations. I am a friend to anyone who fears you, anyone who obeys your commandments. Oh, Lord, your unfailing love fills the earth. Teach me your decrees.
Amen. Thank you, Kathy. So back to the question. When evil people tried to drag the psalmist into sin, he was firmly anchored in God's instructions. Mm-hmm. And then in 63, it says that instead, he's a friend to anyone who fears God. So he's a friend to those who are righteous. All right.
Mm-hmm. No.
And anyone, so not only anyone who fears the Lord, but anyone who obeys his commandments. But we can't forget that part.
Mm-hmm.
And the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet is Tet. This section of our poem is the discipline of God's word. Why did the psalmist say that God's instructions are more valuable than millions in silver and gold?
I had 71 and 72.
Yep.
All right, take it away.
Okay.
If you like, you can just read the whole thing and then we can talk.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Somebody was going to read it. Go ahead.
Okay. Ms. Nicole, I had for that test 65 to 72, which is the whole, okay, in this state, we have done many good things. Oh, excuse me. You have done many good things for me, Lord, just as you promised. I believe in your commandments. Now teach me good judgments and knowledge. I used to wander off until you disciplined me, but now I closely follow your word. You are good and do only good. Teach me your decrees. Arrogant people smear me with lies, but in truth, I obey your commandments with all of my heart. The hearts are dull and stupid, but I delight in your instructions. My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention, amen, to your decrees. You're not laughing at me, okay? Your instructions are more valuable to me than millions of gold and silver. Stop it, you guys, all right?
Amen. So the psalmist says that his instructions is more valuable than silver and gold, and the reason is because it gives you wisdom.
Yes, it does.
It gives you good judgment, knowledge, keeps you from wandering off, you know? And so that's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is.
This was, you know, when I was reading this, I was like, wow, this is powerful.
Okay. Ms. Nicole, not to get too far away, but just a train of thought. I was listening to Psalms on this one and everything, and I came up with this. The psalmist, which is probably in the alphabet individual people or just the alphabet, but I was pondering and everything, and I looked at it as far as a prayer, like Paul or Jesus or Job or David. You know, we've witnessed these type of prayers in different parts of the Bible. So is it like a premonition of what's become? Because as you're looking at, as far as Job, and before that and everything, coming up to Paul and Jesus, what's quoted in Psalm, almost like what we're getting ready to go into further into the Bible. Okay, y'all.
I was listening very carefully to your question, and I think that, you know, they knew these psalms. They knew what they were quoting. They knew,
right?
You know, like Jesus, he was quoting Old Testament scripture. And so, what is your question? Is it saying that the people who originally wrote these, were they giving us premonitions, or were they given premonitions for the future?
Well, you know, as we go through these questions and everything, it leads up to that, you know, before Isaiah, and you know, it's like from Genesis, we're stepping all the way through as far as Christ redeeming ourselves and everything. But, you know, we have so many examples, and not to take you out your class, just a question because you know me, but, you know, we know about Paul, and we know about Jesus, and we know about Job. And David went through the same thing in Psalms as the alphabetical people that's going through right now. So, anyway, we're going to go back to your class. At the end of the questions and everything, Pastor, if you've got ears and everything, Could you answer that for us?
Sure he can, yes.
I know he can.
I was just going to say, I think they knew what they were talking about. I don't think that they were naive with what they were talking
right.
about. I think they knew God's word.
I think Nicole hit it right on the head when she was saying that they were, when Jesus was praying and when others prayed in the New Testament. Again, you've heard me say it before, and we've seen it all the way through the Bible, how to talk to God. And that's really all it is. And so when we look back at how they talk to God, now we're under the age of grace. So in Jesus' name, we make our requests known. But when we pray to God, we do what they did. It's like Nicole said, they pray God's word back to him. And so when Jesus came and he was tempted by the devil out there in the wilderness, he spoke God's word back to him. Whenever Jesus, in John chapter 12, when he was pressured about going to the cross, and he said, for this cause came I into the world. So he asked the Father to strengthen him. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's the same thing. He's asking God to do what God said. And so, yeah, these Psalms do, all these prayers, Old Testament through, seem to lead to the New Testament. But again, Jesus is the culmination of that. And so what they prayed looking forward to and what the prophets prophesied about what was to come, as Janice brought out when she preached about Psalm 52, that was 700 years before Jesus actually came. That's why I love that sermon so much. She really laid it out for us, how God speaks it, that it happens. And when you see folks in the New Testament praying, it sounds like what you heard in the Old Testament that had already been prayed. Why? They're praying to the same God about the same thing, about God pulling his will off.
Right.
So Nicole hit it right on the head. When you hear Jesus quoting scriptures in the New Testament, as in the days of Noah, remember when he said that? It'll be in Matthew 24, mm-hmm. as in the days of Noah, as when he came in on the donkey, Jeremiah quoted that, Zechariah 9:9. So when you hear him doing that in the New Testament, it came right out of the old. Jesus is just the culmination of it all. So they prayed it forward.
Okay.
And that's how we learn how to pray. We look at how they talk to God. That's the way we talk to God. But we talk to God about his stuff, not our laundry list of how we figured out how our life should go and what would make it perfect, but going to God about his stuff, his kingdom, his righteousness. He'll take care of the stuff.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Pastor, and very good question,
yes,
Oliver.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes.
All right. The next letter in the Hebrew alphabet is Yud. This section of the poem is about the trust in God's word. What does the psalmist desire? Why does the psalmist desire God's tender mercy?
So in verse 80, it says, "May I wholeheartedly follow your decrees that I may not be put to shame." I had a question pertaining to this one. It might go off topic. I'm really not too sure, but I'm going to ask my question because my dad said no question is a stupid question.
Absolutely.
It says he doesn't want to be put to shame. He wholeheartedly wants to follow his decrees. I read that section over again, those verses, and the question I got was he trying to become a disciple or was he already one? Because I asked that. Because it says, may those who fear you turn to me, those who understand your statutes. And then even going back, it says, may the arrogant be put to shame for wronging me without cause, but I will meditate in your precepts, pretty much the whole eight passages. But it gave me that question in my head of, was he trying to help lead people so he wouldn't be put to shame for that purpose of the part of, you know, how we have to witness to people and get people closer to God? Or was he trying to fix himself so he can lead people? I'm not sure if I asked the questions the right way in which they was forming in my head, mm-hmm. but that was my question.
Okay. Sure, that was a good question. So the psalmist is asking God for deliverance from his enemies. And throughout this poem, he often talked about, like in this one, verse 77, surround me with your tender mercy so I may live, for your instructions are my delight. He is asking God to keep him from stumbling.
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
It did. I'm actually writing it down. Thank you. So was that, I'm sorry, was that from stumbling just for his personal self or both, stumbling for himself so he can get, closer to God to lead people, or just stumbling in general life, like with the daily struggles and trying to stay from sticking to himself or pretty much dying to self and being under God's will? I think
Yeah, it's okay. As I was reading through here, it looked like he was basically asking the Lord for the strength I think that he was asking, as he was surrounded by unrighteous people, as we are. And, a couple of questions ago, we talked about how he was asking the Lord to keep him from stumbling, but then he was saying that he's going to anchor himself in God's word and he's going to deal with the righteous, which is why his word tells us don't be unequally yoked, because it's not as it relates to leading people to God. I mean, that's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is to, make disciples and pray that we don't stumble along the way. And I think, that's what I saw, in the text. Pastor O, is that what, I just want to make sure that
right.
we're on track.
When you look at those verses you mentioned from really 77 to 80, if you just follow the flow, it says, surround me with your tender mercies so I may live. I don't think he's talking about life and death. I think he's talking about living for God. For your instructions are my delight.
Mm-hmm.
Bring disgrace upon the arrogant people who lied about me. Meanwhile, I'll concentrate on your commandments. Let me be united with all who fear you or reverence you, with those who know your laws. May I be blameless in keeping your decrees. Then I will never be ashamed. Romans talks about, when we look back at the things that we did in chapter 6, the latter part, when we look back on the things we did before we were saved, we are ashamed of those things now. And now, as Christians, even though we are saved by grace, going to heaven,
mm-hmm.
can't miss, when we mess up, we feel ashamed because we know better. There's a better life. So this is what he is saying here. He is literally saying or praying for what Jesus told us to seek in Matthew 6 and 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and
mm-hmm.
his righteousness, his right way of living, talking, acting, and doing, and then all these other things will be added to you. So he is desiring to live for the Lord, as Nicole said, and to keep from stumbling. And he cites God's word as being able to enable him to do that. But he has to delight in his instructions. He has to concentrate on his commandments, just as it was told to Joshua, to look into it day and night, meditate on it day and night, and don't depart from it to the left or to the right, but walk straight down the road in it. Of course, we are New Testament under grace Christians, so when we mess it all up, we 1 John 1:9, Nicole used the word a while ago, it's from the Greek, We call it confession, but in the Greek it means agreement. I agree with you. I'm wrong, you're right. Then God forgives, God cleanses. And in that way, we're not ashamed. The Lord has taken away our shame, and all we had to do was confess our sin. For instance, Peter, when he denied Jesus, oh, he was ashamed. Okay, Jesus even told him that he was going to deny him, so it didn't have to go like that. But Peter retorted, no, I won't. They might, but I won't. But he did. But the difference between him and Judas is Judas did not hang around. Judas didn't have the kind of the conviction that made him confess, agree that Jesus is Lord. That Peter did, and Peter hung around, and Peter found forgiveness. Okay, so his shame was removed, his shame of denying. Remember, the last time that Peter denied Jesus, he was looking him straight in the face. And so you know how that had to hit. Suddenly he remembered when he heard the rooster crow, the prophecy that Jesus had prophesied about him. And so he wept bitterly. But that shame and that bitterness was removed after Christ's resurrection. Peter was still around. Jesus forgave him, and then made him the pseudo-leader of the 12. So what the psalmist is asking for here is he recognizes he needs to look at God's word, his instructions, as delight. And if he does that, he'll get the tender mercies that he needs to live. If he wants to bring disgrace among arrogant people who tell lies, like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, pray for those who despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely. So he know he has to concentrate on the commandments and not that. Okay, I see too much of that on Facebook. Every time I see a post, it's about somebody caring about what somebody else said or thinks. I only care what Jesus says or thinks. That makes life a whole lot simpler for me. 7 billion people in the world, and I got to care what each one of them think. No, I care what Jesus think. I'm like the psalmist. His word is enough. So, yeah, he's talking about that he can advertise and display, bring glory to God in this life, but he knows he has a responsibility to do that. He has to do God's will. Like Jesus said, and I'm going to be through preaching, like Jesus said in John 17, chapter 17 and 4, I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And that's what the psalmist is asking for. But he realizes it's up to him to stand on God's word to get what he wants, if that makes sense.
Amen.
Yeah. It's almost like 14,
great questions, everyone.
Yeah.
You know, this is a great psalm. It's beautiful. I was like, wow, I could stay here for a year. All right, moving on to the next alphabet, the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which is Kaf. And this section of our poem speaks to the faithfulness of God's word. The psalmist was worn out and in distress because of his persecution. What does he refuse to do while he waits on his deliverance?
81. Here, put hope in your word. I am worn out waiting for your rescue, but I have put my hope in your word. I don't know how many of you guys want me to read.
You can hone in on 87, 86
through 88. That would be funny.
86 to 88. All right.
All your commands are trustworthy. Protect me from those who hunt me down without cause. They almost finish me off, but I refuse to be abandoned. I refuse to abandon your commandments. In your unfailing love, spare my life. Then I can continue to obey your laws. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So he refuses to abandon God's commandments while he waits on his deliverance.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. I hope that is coming.
Our next letter in the Hebrew alphabet is Lamed. And this section is the security of God's word. And the question is, why does the psalmist state that he will never forget God's command?
Uh, 92 and 93.
All right, amen.
Right. Okay. If your instructions hadn't sustained me with joy, I would have died in my misery. I will never forget your commandments, for by them you give me life.
Amen. Amen. So he will never forget, because his commandments, they give him life. Beautiful. Thank you. And the next letter in our Hebrew alphabet is Mem. This section is about the preciousness of God's word. Our question is, how does it benefit the psalmist to use God's word as a constant guide?
The M is so 97 to 104, and the key verse is 98, and it says, Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have
one. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have more insight.
Amen.
That's it.
You can go ahead if you like.
Okay. It says, yes, I have, the key verse was, your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of your laws. I am even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. I have refused to walk on any evil path so that I may remain obedient to your word. Amen.
Amen. So how does it benefit the psalmist to use God's word as a constant guide? It makes him wiser than his enemies. Amen?
Amen.
And remember, our we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. All right. But it makes us wiser than our enemies. And moving on to the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which is Nun. This section is about the illumination of God's word. The psalmist's life was constantly in danger. What did the word provide for him?
105.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
All the way down to 105 to 109, I guess.
How about 112?
All right, take it away.
You guys are doing this. Huh? What do you have?
I was going to say.
105.
I just 105 to 109. Anyway, I was saying, Emily, I went to...
Okay, go ahead.
I went down to 112.
Okay,
to get
go
to
ahead.
Big thoughts. But go ahead, my brother.
No, I'm listening.
Okay.
Go ahead, Eric. Okay. Or
your word is a lamp and guide my feet and a light for my path. Promise it again. I will obey you righteous regulations. I have suffered much, O Lord. Restore my life again as you promised. Lord, accept my offering of praise and teach me your regulations. My life constantly hangs in the balance, but I will not stop obeying your instructions. The wicked have set the traps for me, but I will not turn from your commandments. Your laws are my treasure, and they are my heart's delight. I am determined to keep your decrees to the very end. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Amen. So what did the word provide for him? It provided a lamp to guide his feet and a light for his path. So
exactly.
Just think about our path in life.
Mm-hmm.
The word, it's going to guide our feet as we walk through life's path. It's going to be
God's
a light.
Word, right.
Right.
Yeah,
and a guide. All right, which brings us to Samech. The reverence of God's word. Because of the psalmist's love and reverence for God and his instructions, what does he express that he hates? Amen. Go right ahead. Take it away.
I hate those with divided loyalties, but I love your instructions.
And amen. So the psalmist, he hates those with divided loyalties.
Mm-hmm.
And we always hear this scripture in the New Testament. A double-minded man is unstable in how many of his ways?
All his ways.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. And next in our alphabet is Ayin. This section is about the value of God's word. What does the psalmist ask for which will help him to understand God's law?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have 124 to 128.
My man. My
okay.
Man.
Okay. And as I would say, it reads as follows. I am your servant. Deal with me in unfailing love and teach me your decrees. Give discernment to me, your servant, then I will understand your laws. Lord, it is time for you to act, for these evil people have violated your instructions. Truly, I love your commands more than gold, even the finest gold. Each of your commandments is right. That is why I hate every false way. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So what does the psalmist ask for which will help him to understand God's law? And that is in number 125.
Mm-hmm.
Give discernment. He's asking for discernment to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking for discernment to understand God's law.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be wisdom?
Asking,
I'm sorry, Nicola.
You're fine.
Discernment. Would that like be wisdom or some type of, I don't know, insight, mother wit?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Well, it would be similar to, I would say it's more like understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So discernment to understand his law is help me to see it so that I can understand it.
Okay.
And that's what the Holy Spirit gives to us.
All right. All right.
All right.
Everybody quiet in the background.
The next letter is Hey. This
mm-hmm.
section is about the wonders of God's word. What principles do the psalmist reference that are reasons that God's law is so wonderful?
Let me 129 to 136 and focusing on the teaching of your word gives light. so even the simple can understand. And I pant with the expectations, longing for your commands. And it says, your laws are wonderful. No wonder I obey them. The teaching of your word gives light, so even the simple can understand. I pant with expectations, longing for your commands. Come and show me your mercy as you do for all who love your name. Give my steps by your word so I will not be overcome by evil. Ransom me from the oppression of evil people. Then I can obey your commandments. Look upon me with love. Teach me your decrees. Rivers of tears gush from my eyes because people disobey your instructions. Yeah. So,
Amen. I like where he says, so even the simple can understand. You know, we don't have to go to college and get a master's in theology to know God's word. We can actually just go to him and ask for discernment. And to ask him to show us his word. He wants us to know his word. Mm-hmm. He's not trying to hide it from us.
To break it down for us.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I love about this God that I serve.
Mm-hmm.
He wants me to know him. He wants me to know his word. He wants me to understand it so that I can have the ability to obey him. Amen. All right. Next is Sadi, and that is speaking to the righteousness of God's word. Why does the psalmist say that he loves God's promises so much?
No, 137 through 140. And it says, O Lord, you are righteous and your regulations are fair. Your laws are perfect and completely trustworthy. I am overwhelmed with indignation, for my enemies have discarded your words. Your promises have been thoroughly tested. That is why I love them so much. I am insignificant and despised, but I don't forget your commandments. Your justice is eternal, and your instructions are perfectly true. As pressure and the stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. Your laws are always right. Help me to understand them so I may live. And it's 137.
Amen.
140.
So that's a beautiful thing. God's promises have been thoroughly tested.
Mm-hmm.
And they're true. He's completely trustworthy. His promises, he doesn't make promises to us that are not going to be fulfilled. He keeps his word.
So true.
And we have a Bible that proves it over and over and over. Promises are tested and they're true.
Exactly.
And that's why we read his word. I had a conversation with someone recently and they were like, I don't need to learn the word of God. He hid his word in me.
Makes sense.
And I said to him, well, just think of what happens when you read his word. If it's hidden in you and you read it, guess what? That just gives it even more power for you to believe.
Tap into it in it whenever you want to.
Okay.
Right.
Check this out, family. I have a question on this.
Sure.
Since we are no judge as far as how anybody serve God, then, Pastor, if you got your ears on, how are we supposed to do if we are judged individually as far as how we serve God?
What is your question? Say that again.
I was going to say, everybody has their own way of going to God as far as praying besides the prayer that Jesus gave, but since we cannot judge or how to go to God and God listen to our prayers, how do we go the direct way as far as being, how would you say, reverence to God?
Are you talking about as far as being able to talk to him?
Right. You know,
Pastor O said he meet us right where we are.
Well, I think I hear Pastor O getting ready to answer your question, but I was going to say that Christ did a lot on that
throat,
call. Right.
I'm sorry, Pastor.
We have access to the throne because of what Christ did for us. You know,
right.
So in essence, you know, we don't worship him or go to him in our own way. There is but one way, and that is through Jesus Christ.
True.
And then I'll let Pastor O take it even further.
Oh, well, no need to go any further. There's only one way. And Jesus gave us that way. When you pray, say, "Our Father who art in heaven." So you hear, you know, I hear that on Facebook sometimes, that I don't have to be a Christian to worship God. I don't have to believe in the Bible or Jesus. God is God. He accepts me. No, there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't ask the Father nothing in his name because you don't belong to him. You'll be no better off than the seven sons of Sceva who thought that they could throw the name of Jesus around because they heard it. Well, demons know if you have the Holy Spirit in you or not. And so when you begin to throw that name around just because you went to somebody's church and heard the pastor spitting it all over the place, saying it'll do this, that, and the other, you don't have the right to use that name. And they know that. That's exactly what they said. Jesus, we know, because he kicked us out of heaven a long time ago. And Paul, we heard about. Okay, but who are you? Okay, so they won't listen. And so you cannot just use God's name because you've been created. No, you have to have a personal relationship with him, become one of his disciples or followers or a member of the body of Christ, and then you can cry, as Romans chapter 8 says, "Abba, Father." Unless and until then, you can't. Now, as for Christians saying, "This is the way I come to God, this is the way I come to God," again, it's what Nicole said. The Bible has already prescribed how we come to God. Even though we're all individuals and every one of us like snowflakes different, God has given us one way to come to him. Okay,
all right.
When you pray, say "Our Father." You can't say Buddha, Allah, or any other thing. Father, in the name of Jesus. Like Jesus said, anything in John 14, anything you ask the Father in my name, and what that might mean, Deacon Tate was talking about that earlier today, my name means my will, my already revealed word. That's my name, okay, not things to make you happy in this life or the things that Matthew calls, all these things will be added. Those things we don't have to pray for. What we have to pray for is the things that God told us to do, not the things we want in this life. He'll just give you that. He have no need for this stuff. So he'll just give it to you. But, you know, as Nicole said even earlier, you need to obey God's word to get God's blessing. When you see in the Bible where it says you shall not inherit the kingdom of God, it's not telling you you're not going to heaven. What it's telling you is your lifestyle is so raggedy, the things that God wants to, the kingdom of God that wants to come and operate in your life can't because of the raggedy condition it's in. But when you do what the Lord tells you, then God can use you. Other than that, it's there you are. So, yeah, you got to come right. And if you're already saved, you got to come in his will. Our problem is we keep asking for stuff. We don't have to ask for that. God knows that you are really immature when your prayer life is filled up with asking him for stuff. Your prayer life should be filled up with seeking to come under his kingdom rule, his kingdom, his authority, and seeking to do things his way. It's what he said in Genesis, my image and my likeness. His image is holiness, right? His likeness is righteousness. So seek holiness. What did Jesus tell us in the Sermon on the Mount? Be holy, even as your Father in heaven is holy. Be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's kingdom, that's righteousness, all the way through the Bible. So however you come at it, you can't, you're like people, world, they are prayer. You standing there holding the hand with a Muslim. They can't talk to the Lord. Okay, and then the individual Christian who live a life raggedy as a tore-up shirt, and he over there asking God to just rain down blessings on me, Jesus. No, that's not. Your parents won't do it. So what makes you think God don't do it? If you don't do nothing they tell you to do, then you come in the house talking about, I want some new shoes, some new clothes for the party on Friday, and I want to use your car to go. Really?
Oh, baby.
That's not, they love you, they're your parents, but I don't think that's going to happen because you ain't, you know what I mean? So if we're like that with our kids, how much more is the Father like that with us?
Amen.
My sermon over.
All right.
Amen.
Go ahead,
amen. Great questions,
thanks,
everyone. I appreciate that.
That's
and moving on to the next. What was that?
I said, thanks, Pastor. Oh, that was part of my lesson for Sunday. Gave me a little nugget.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right.
A little boost.
Look at God.
Yes.
All right. So the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet is Kaf. And this section of our poem is speaking to the truthfulness of God's word. When did the psalmist realize that God's commands are true and will last forever?
I am 152.
Amen.
I have known from my earliest days that your laws will last forever.
Amen. So
all
he
right.
knew from his earliest days
yes.
that his laws will last forever. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then that brings us to the next letter in our Hebrew alphabet, which is Resh.
Resh.
This section of the poem speaks to the deliverance of God's word. Why was the psalmist confident that God could protect his life?
I have 159 and 60.
All righty.
Okay. And it reads as follows. Sure. Okay. See how I love your commandments, Lord. Give back my life because of your unfailing love. Your very essence of your words is true. And all your just regulations will stand forever. Amen.
Amen.
I have 163.
Go ahead, my brother.
No, I'm saying
well, it can't be 163
because
we are
into another one.
We're in Resh, which is.
Oh, okay. I'm in the wrong one. My bad.
Yeah,
Shin okay.
is a different letter. Yep. And so, thank you, Oliver. So the psalmist was confident that God would protect his life because he had not forgotten God's instructions. And God, when we obey his instruction, he promises to keep his word. Whether we obey or disobey, he's going to keep his word because his word tells us what's going to happen when we obey and what happens when we disobey. So either way, his word is true, right?
Oh, yeah, true. Unjust regulations. Yeah.
Right, so we don't serve a God who just wants to keep things from us. We serve a God who wants us to have an abundant life, peace, happiness, wholeness, and we know we can't get it if we go the contrary. And he knows it, so he's telling us. All right. And then our next letter in the Hebrew alphabet is Shin. And this section of our poem speaks to the joy of God's word. And the question is, what is the result of having love for God's instruction?
165.
Start with 164 and also do 165.
Okay. All right. I will praise you seven times a day because all your regulations are just. Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble.
Amen. So, yes. Okay. The result of having love for God's instruction, great peace.
Mm-hmm.
You won't stumble.
Right.
It sounds mm-hmm. so easy, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Feels
yes,
good,
it does. We practice that every day, don't we?
It feels
right,
good.
Exactly. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, okay, I understand. Words
as I put before
saying.
You.
Go ahead.
What was that?
I'm with you, please.
I was just going to say, you know, his word
what
says,
number did he start with?
I thought you told me to go ahead.
No, what number did he start with?
What number? He started with
yes.
64. But the answer, the true answer to the question is in 65.
Mm-hmm.
I just like that he says, I will praise you seven times a day because of your because your regulations are just.
But then I thought
yes.
166 would have been added because
mm-hmm.
the statement is the psalmist confident, let me tell you, why was the psalmist confident that God would protect his life? And
mm-hmm.
166, I long for your rescue, Lord, so I have obeyed. No, okay. You get away, you stop that. I shut up. Okay. My bad.
It's all good. It's just us. All right.
Yeah, okay.
So moving on to the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which is Tau. And this section of the poem is the praise for God's word. What does the psalmist do in the midst of his trouble? What will he do if God saves him?
I've got 173 all the way to 175, and it reads as follows. Give me a helping hand, for I have chosen to follow your commandments. O Lord, I have longed for your rescue, and your instructions are my delight. Let me live so I can praise you, and may your regulations help me. I have wanted. Okay, let me stop right there. My bad.
All right.
Amen.
So, what does the psalmist do in the midst of his trouble? He lets praise flow from his lips. I've been there many times in the midst of trouble. That's when I praise the hardest. And what will he do if God saves him? He says, give me a helping hand. That's in 173. Give me a helping hand, for I have chosen to follow your command. Chooses. We say this prayer off. Lord, if you do this for me, I promise I will do whatever it is that you want me to do. God's word is very clear. You know, Jesus said, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. I mean, all we have to do is obey his word. But if we don't know what's in his word, it's going to be difficult to obey it. If we're not meditating on his word day and night and holding it dear to us and delighting in it, you know, it is hard to obey his word because we can get easily distracted. You know, we live in a world and everyone even before us lived in a world that was full of evil. People have been tempted by Satan since the beginning of time. And so we are no different. But God has given us his word so that it can be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to have peace. And there you have it. When you're struggling, break out Psalm 119. That's a beautiful psalm, isn't it?
Very good.
All right. Okay. Well, that concludes our questions for tonight.
Okay.
Did anybody have any additional questions or any comments?
Okay, I got some comments. I love when you talked about lamp and light, and that is exactly what God's word is to us. It is a lamp so we can see down to our feet so that we can see and not trip or stumble. And it is a light so that we can see farther than where we are and see our way there. Now, we can't see our way. For instance, I have light, you have lights on your car, and they don't go from where you start to, say, you leaving the church. They won't shine from the church to your house, but they will guide you. They will be out in front of you farther than you can see where you are. And that's what God's word does for us. It's a lamp and a light. And again, Nicole hit on it. He wants us to know his word. God has, my wife and I were having this discussion earlier, Deacon Tate and myself too. And especially since y'all know I had to study world history and Christian history. In studying Christian history, around the 4th century, it became known as the age of theology. And what that meant is that they got so into trying to figure out God's word that they forgot all about spreading the word, living the word, doing the word, teaching the word. They were just sitting around think-tanking the word. Okay? And when they got through with it, they made it so difficult that the average person couldn't even understand it. But as Nicole brought out so clearly, God made his word simple so that we could get it. Think about this. What if somebody went to heaven, they died, they went up to the judgment seat of Christ, Revelation chapter 20, they had the white throne judgment, and their excuse to Jesus is, the word was so complicated, I wasn't a smart man, I wasn't a smart woman, I couldn't understand it. Well, see, God made his word so plain. Old folks, this is not in the Bible, but old folks came up with this theology. They said, the Bible's so clear, a fool can't err. And they were right. Now, that's kitchen talk. It's not in the Bible, but that theology is right, that God has made the word. So who can't understand God so loved the world? He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him will not perish. Who can't understand don't lie, don't steal, don't trip out on your parents, don't use God's name crazily. You know what I mean? His word is clear. But once the theologians got a hold of it, it wouldn't be until 1901 that it started to simplify all over again. So God wants us to know his word, so he didn't make it hard for us to understand, although we do need teachers. That's why he gave us some to be teachers. And then there's a common theme through 119, and that common theme is in every situation, and Nicole brought out each one of those. She also taught me that those were Hebrew letters. I didn't know that. She wrote me an email saying, don't put numbers by these because these are Hebrew letters, but I know you knew that. I wrote it back and like, I ain't had a clue. You just taught me some. So there's one common theme through Psalm 119, and that is God's word can solve any problem you're having. What all those different ones, how she highlighted what this section is about, God's word has an answer for whatever your problem or ailment is, whatever you need. Psalm 119 got an answer for you. And so the common theme is God's word is the answer for whatever your ailment or your problem is. And that's the common theme through that whole thing. He just kept relating God's word to peace, God's word to prosperity, God's word to health, God's word to protection from enemies, God's word for everything. 176 verses of power. And when you hear the word inheritance in the Bible, don't get it mixed up. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when the Bible says, like in Galatians chapter 5, if you participate in those kinds of things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But Romans chapter 8, verse 17 flies in the face of that, saying that we are heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ Jesus because we've believed and accepted him as our Lord Savior. So what does it mean when it says you shall not inherit? What you remember the rich young ruler? He wanted to inherit eternal life. Well, Jesus said, if you want to inherit eternal life, go and sell what you got. Come follow me. Well, he couldn't do that, so he couldn't inherit eternal life. Didn't say he couldn't have it, but he didn't do what he needed to do to get it. But we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. So what does it mean when it says you shall not inherit? It means the power that's available to you, you're blocking it because you won't do what God tells you to do. If God says step your foot in the water so the Jordan apart, you won't step your foot in the water. If God say march around the wall six times, once a day, once for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day, then praise me, you ain't even show up for the first day. So you get the point? If you don't do what God says, and remember when Pastor Janice Tate taught us about the covenants of God, the promises of God, we have a part to play in that. They're all conditional. God says, if you do, I will. So inheritance means if you don't do what James says, look into the word, don't forget the word, do what the word says, then you won't be blessed in what you do because you didn't do what the word said to be blessed. You do that, you'll be blessed. And finally, Janine preaching Saturday, Janine Folks, don't forget to keep Mother Irma Miller and all the mothers on the move in prayer. And I'll be preaching Sunday, and we'll actually preach on the verses we read last week. So God bless you. God keep you. Back to your teacher.
All right. I hope that you guys enjoyed tonight's lesson. And
I did.
I hope that you will look up, you know, what that type of poem is. It was I'm looking it up now. Basically, every letter, when you look at this, every letter in this poem began with the letter, the alphabet. So as if we said A, every word would begin with A, like Almighty is God, you know, and then B, blessing, you know, and then C, you know, so it was just a wonderful thing to learn that people thousands of years ago were just as creative as we are. You know, we think that we're the smartest people ever created, and it's just not true. You know, God created man in his image. And so it's mighty of us to think that way. They were smart, intelligent, and they knew God. Some of them did. All right, so let's go ahead and pray out, and then we'll end the class. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, because, wow, you preserved your word for us. You wanted us to see that
people are just people, and at the end of the day, we all need a salvation, and we just thank you that you provided that for us. But not only did you give us salvation, you gave us directions and instructions so that we could live an abundant life, a life that is full of peace, joy, happiness, and ultimately a great relationship with you and your people. And so we just ask, Lord, that you bless everybody that showed up today. And we ask that you continue to give them a thirst and a hunger for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. If you've been missing Bring Back the Family at 4 o'clock, you've been missing something. So we'll see you Sunday at 4 o'clock. Bring Back the Family. Hey.
Hey. I want to do what you like. 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 When you do what you like, I know it will be right, yeah. I want to do what you like. I wanna do what you like. My only reason for breathing is Jesus, Lord. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. My only reason for breathing is Jesus, Lord. I wanna do what you like. I just wanna be pleasing, pleasing you. In all that I do, I just wanna be you. Don't get it confused. This ain't about me and my stuff and the way that I feel, feel. It's all about God and the kingdom and doing his will. Me and the homies, we be in the block. Selling the block by the rock. And all the laws, hear the lesson. He took the curse, here's the blessing. Now pushing the presence and do what he say. He gon' take every single fate away. Put your trust in him every single day. You look to the heavens and say, I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. My only reason for breathing is Jesus, Lord. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. My only reason for breathing is Jesus, Lord. I wanna do what you like. I wanna make you smile. I wanna be the one that make you laugh out loud. I want your will to be done. I wanna be the one that you be calling me son. I wanna spread your love. Take it to all of these honeys and all of these thugs. I want them to look to you. And just like you got me hooked, I want them hooked on you. So they get in the presence. They feel your essence. They feel so light. They wanna prison worship you all night. They don't wanna leave. They don't wanna leave. They don't wanna leave. What is this that I am feeling? Feeling like my body's healing. You make it easy to think that we're hard. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. My only reason for breathing is Jesus, Lord. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. I wanna do what you like. My only reason for breathing is Jesus, Lord. I wanna do what you like.
So I pray all day, I'll be like that. follow your way, hope you like that. Never saw her talking outside of his mind. I just want the other way, don't even fight that. I hope you like that, I hope you like that. Cause I wanna do what you like. I hope you like that, I hope you like that. Cause I wanna do.